The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding, and welcome to the show. Thank you very much for spending some time with me here today. It's in my world of real time. I am in between my morning and afternoon clinic on August 10th, which happens to be my mom's birthday. And it's interesting because my wife and mom called me a little bit ago, a couple hours ago, and said that my mom had a big red mass behind her knee that got a bunch bigger overnight, and they sent me a picture, and I said, well, you need to get in the car. And now, she had her knee replaced 6 years ago. I said, you need to get in the car and come out to Carroll, and we'll get an ultrasound and some labs, and if there's a needle to be put in it, I will be asking my partner to do it, because, you know, you don't really want to take care of your— you can do some stuff, but you don't want to operate on your family members. You don't really want to be in a big decision-making process with a family member. So I'll let you know how that all turns out, but it brings an excellent discussion, which is, how long do you need to be really cautious after a knee replacement? And of course, I'm being very cautious here. I'm like, yeah, you need to. I treat my family the way I would treat any of my patients. And if I had this, so my patients that get a knee replacement or shoulder replacement with me, because they are such large operations and they're lifetime operations, and you then have something in you that is foreign to your body for the rest of your life. And because complications can happen fast and can happen at any point, all of my patients who have had a knee or a shoulder replacement have my cell phone number. This is exactly why, because this happened to be my mom, but this could have been any of my patients, and they could have told me the same story, and I would have told them the exact same thing. Now, if they were from far away, I would say, go to your nearest hospital. Of course, it's my mom, so I want her at my hospital. And of course, any of my patients who were operated on here know how to get here. So I would tell them, listen, if you get here, I can be in command of the situation and can sort it out. Now, hopefully this isn't a big deal. Hopefully it's not, certainly not an infection. Hopefully it's not a bigger infection. But this is 6 years out, right? My mom's not diabetic. She doesn't smoke. She lives a healthy lifestyle. But these things can happen, and I think that's worth talking about. The metal and plastic implants can— the chances of infection are highest in the first few weeks after the surgery, and they reduce dramatically after that. And then it's— see, I'm always, well, I was taught in medical school that you start with what is the absolute worst thing that could be going on here, and you work backwards from that. And until you've really ruled out— because there's some different ways that other people could potentially handle this. Oh, well, here, let me call in some antibiotics and we'll give you that overnight and see how you do. But that's not aggressive enough for me. Now, part of the reason for that is that my mother-in-law had an infection in her knee replacement, and it turned into a catastrophe. So, and I felt like she wasn't treated aggressively enough early on. So I'm super aggressive early on with any suspect. And I did not do my mother-in-law's knee replacement. I would never do that, nor did I do my mom's knee replacement. So that's not what you do. But you can be an advocate and help things along. But the primary sort of learning point here for everybody who has already had their knee or hip or shoulder, or really any joint replacement— I only do knees and shoulders, and my partner does reverse total shoulders and total hips and total knees. And I do reverse total shoulders, anatomic total shoulders, and total knees. I don't do total hips, and he doesn't do anatomic total shoulders, which is anyway. So between us, we do a lot. We just did our 1,000th Mako joint replacements here together. And so we do a lot of them, and we have a lot of patients out there. And what I tell patients is there's a few things to know. Now, the prospect of an infection late, I would say, you know, I'm aggressive and I'm concerned about my mom, but I'm thinking there's a very low potential that this is a deep infection of her knee 6 years out. I have only seen one or two in my career that were that far out that got infected late. And I think those patients were diabetic or smokers. So I don't think this is what it's going to be, but we have to be aggressive and rule those things out, because as soon as you get caught sleeping, you'll get smacked around. So you have to be vigilant. So what do you need to look for or be concerned with when you have a joint replacement? Well, any kind of an infection in your body, whether it's on your finger or on your toe or anywhere else in your body, if you have an active infection, it needs to be treated with antibiotics as quickly as possible. Because what can happen is the bacteria can go from your bloodstream and pass through the joint, and it can sit in the joint, and then it's a very favorable environment for bacteria in there, and they can just go crazy and develop an infection. Because just having a bacteria in your bloodstream doesn't necessarily mean it. That can get processed out through your immune system and through some immune processes in your liver and things like that, and your gastrointestinal system. There's ways your body has so that, you know, otherwise if you had an infection in your finger, it would just go everywhere in your body and your heart would get infected and everything. So there are ways your body has to compensate for that and assure that it does not become an infection in another part of your body. But the risk of that occurring is dramatically greater if you already have a joint replaced. So at any given time in your life, if you have had a joint replacement and you have an obvious infection anywhere, get in to see a doctor. It doesn't need to be. If you have a hangnail that's gotten infected and you can see and there's pus coming out of it and, you know, the end of your finger is red, you don't need to go see your orthopedic surgeon. Go see your primary care doctor. They will put you on appropriate antibiotics and that'll be the end of it. But don't just sit on it and sit on it and sit on it, okay? Same with any other infection anywhere in your body. And, you know, basically, you want to be aggressive with infection treatment once you've had a joint replacement. Now, one of the things that I always get the questions about is, do you need to take antibiotics before you have dental procedures? Now, we used to do this routinely. We used to give people antibiotics prior to dental procedures after they had a joint replacement, full stop. There's some surgeons who will still do it in the first 3 months and some that won't. I prefer you just don't have dental work done if it's not emergency in the first 3 months after your knee replacement. That just seems to make more sense to me. I mean, if you think that there's some chance of an infection, then we'll just hold off. Again, it's very blurry. But about 10, might be 15 years ago now, both the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, that's our governing body, these are the sort of luminaries of the profession who have been elected and selected by the orthopedic surgeons to get together and make recommendations about how we should treat things. And they come up with these things called, they're basically treatment protocols. And they're called, the word form is clinical practice guideline. And I guess that's just as good as a protocol. So essentially it gives you a framework for how to approach things. And there's clinical practice guidelines for almost everything we do in orthopedics. There's a clinical practice guideline for shoulder surgery, for rotator cuff tears, for different types of fractures and recommendations and all that stuff. So our governing body put a clinical practice guideline out more than 10 years ago that said that there is no good solid evidence and they do not recommend giving antibiotics after or before routine dental work. Now, if you have an abscess in your tooth, I mean, that's a whole different thing. And yes, you should be getting your antibiotics, which I'm sure the dentist would do. But we still get these dentists calling from these dental offices, calling my office. Now, also, the American Dental Association, 10 or 15 years ago, revised their recommendations to state that they do not now recommend antibiotic treatment, prophylactic treatment. That means just before your dental treatment for normal, for cleaning, for fillings, for things like that. So both of the governing bodies have said that that's not necessary. Now, that doesn't mean everybody agrees with that, and I still get a lot of dentists saying, hey, you know, we want the patient to get antibiotics, and my reply is, well, my governing body and your governing body have both said that they don't require that, and you are perfectly capable of writing a prescription for antibiotics, so why don't you do that if you want your patient to get antibiotics? Because sometimes it's hard to, as a doctor, it's hard to think in a large public health perspective, but putting antibiotics out there for one dose or two doses increases the amount of resistant bacteria in the community. So, you know, I don't want to do that. So if I have 1,000 patients that I've done in the last, between Dr. Dirks and I in the last 6 years for joint replacements, and over my career, I've done, well over 2,000, it might be closer to 3. You know, if all those patients are going to go out there and get, every time they go to the dentist, they're going to get antibiotics. You know, that's lots of antibiotic doses out there, and they're not. See, the shorter you take antibiotics for, the larger chance there is for a bacteria to become resistant. Because if you take one dose, it doesn't quite kill some of the bacteria, and those bacteria then develop a resistance to it. That's how it happens. That's much less likely if you do a full course of like 5 or 7 or 14 days or whatever. But anyway, I digressed a little bit about the community health and the bacterial resistance. But you do not, our academy has not for years recommended routine dental procedures to have antibiotics beforehand. Nor has the American Dental Association, again, has not recommended that for over a decade. However, any orthopedic surgeon will tell you, if you have an infection, then you should be treated aggressively for any infection. Now, for other procedures, you know, we don't, if you're having an endoscopy, you know, anything like that, or certainly any other kind of surgery, we, as the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons says, well, if you're going to give antibiotics anyway, give them. If you're not, don't. Don't make an exception or a difference because the patient has had a joint replacement. So, you know, it seems like a lot of information, but it's really pretty simple. You pretty much don't need to get antibiotics unless you have an active infection. Because if you're going to go have, you know, any endoscopy, or you get your cataracts done, or you're going to get if you're going to get your gallbladder out, they're going to give you antibiotics anyway. So we don't think that you're going to need any more. We just trust that the antibiotics that they're going to give you at the time of surgery are going to do their job. So the big thing to not really wait around on and to, you know, is just any type of obvious infection in your body. And then if you have something like what I've been describing with my mom, where, hey, it's big and it's red and it's painful, and it wasn't big and red and painful yesterday, and it's right near the knee replacement that I had 6 years ago, that needs attention. You know, that needs attention quickly. And then she's actually in the car on the way up here to Carroll right now. and I did ask her, and she said it was okay if we talked about it, so it's not a HIPAA violation. But, you know, I'll let you know how it goes. I'm sure what's going to happen is she's going to come, she's going to get the ultrasound, there's not a big fluid collection, it looks a little warm, a little bit worrisome, then, you know, I'm going to have to defer to my partner, because once you get into the point where you're having to do real decision-making, you have to take yourself out of it. So I'm just doing the things that I can do to get her teed up. And if there's no fluid collection and it's really not that red and her labs look okay, I'll probably give her some antibiotics and she can go, and I'll kind of peek in on her this weekend. But if she, you know, if there's anything that looks like it might need either like an admission level treatment or a surgery or something like that, I will defer the treatment to my partner, because that's just, you want to keep outside, you know, you can do some things, but you want to keep outside of making major decisions on your family members. But yeah, that's kind of, that all just happened like right before I walked into the studio. I was literally on the phone with my wife as I walked into the studio here, saying, hey, you know, call up and update mom's registration stuff, and I'll meet you guys after she gets her ultrasound. So interesting, real time. But since it was relevant, I figured I would talk about it. And since it tells you that, hey, no matter how far you are out with your knee or hip or shoulder, you know, if something looks, if you have a red bump on your shoulder that's increasing in size and painful, and you're concerned about it, call a doctor. Go in and get seen that day. I think you should get seen that day, even if it means going to urgent care. Because you want to, what you don't want to do is, well, it's 5 o'clock, I don't want to go. And then you, then it gets bigger and warmer and redder overnight. Just not a good thing. You want to pay sufficient attention. And, you know, you don't have to be worried. Now, the chances of having an infection after a knee replacement are, at St. Anthony's, less than 1%. That is better than the national average, and we are really proud of that. And we do a lot of things to make sure we don't get it. The other thing we do is we're very aggressive. If there's any chance at all that there may be an infection, we treat these very aggressively. We don't go to sleep on them. We say, hey, let's, you know, get in. We want to see you. We want to put our eyes and our hands on it. We want to make sure that our clinical judgment is that it either is or is not infected, and we want to order the appropriate tests if that happens. So, and like I said, it can happen late. Like this would be considered late. So the infections are perioperative, which means in the first, you know, few days. Early, which means the first 2 weeks. And then somewhere that 2 weeks has started to get stretched out a little bit farther. It used to be that if it was after 2 weeks, you would take the whole knee out and put a whole new knee back in. The treatment of, you know, if you have, and you're talking about, I'm talking about a knee that's replaced that has an infection deep inside of it. That's always been something that's, there are literally books written about how to approach that treatment and how to make that diagnosis. It's not easy. But what I would say is that very complex decision-making as it goes on, especially if you have a knee that's infected deep inside, like there's infection on the plastic and metal, that's a whole different thing. You have to get in and wash it out and do some things to it. I don't want to say exactly what should be done because there are differing opinions on that. But the one thing that every orthopedic surgeon will tell you is that if there's a question of infection, get to a doctor, get evaluated, get into the office, get to your orthopedic surgeon if you can. If you can't, get to another orthopedic surgeon. If you cannot do that, get to your primary care doc. And if you can't do that, get to urgent care. Don't sleep on these because they get worse as time goes on. Anyway, I'll let you know how mom does next week. This weekend, I'm going to go drop my daughter off at University of Missouri. So we got a lot happening right now. Hopefully mom's not going to be in the hospital somewhere and we have to split up the family on this college drop off. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's probably, we're going to be all right. And I think mom will probably be fine, and we'll probably give her some oral antibiotics and keep checking on her. But anyway, I'll let you know how all that goes next week. It's almost like a soap opera here in my life. But anyway, pay attention. If you have had any joint replacement, or someone that you love has had a joint replacement, if there's any question at all about whether there's infection, just get to a doctor and let them evaluate it. Lesson for today. So with that, I'll be back next week. You have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.